Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Oh, I like being artists.
Yeah, that's a good feeling when you're in the right mood, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Okay, tonight on the Stitch Hour at 8 o'clock Eastern, we go to Sydney, Australia again for Gallery 76 tour. Alana Carr revisited an Ari embroidery project by Liz Williamson. So we get to see another exhibit at the Gallery 76, Embroiderers Guild Galleries in Sydney, Australia, and Liz Williamson this time. And this has to do with work being done in Bengal, India, with embroidery and weave, some weaving involved too.
Right.
And then you were poking around at Liz Williamson, and you found some weaving that was pretty stunning.
Right. And she was weaving with rubber, it looks like rubber pieces.
Yeah, tubing of some kind, it looked like.
Yes, yes. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
And I did poke around a little more and saw where she was when she went to India, and the people she was showing different, how to do different techniques. And I think that'll be fascinating to hear her stories about travel there.
Yeah.
And works with mainly women. So I can't wait. Can't wait to see.
You know, that's so sexist. I am really upset.
Well, it is mainly women. I think she said it was a way to get them,
yeah.
You know, 70% of the weaving's done by women. And I was like, it'll just be interesting to hear about her travels and her work with these people and what they create and what they recreate with cast offs. I think that's the other thing. She's known for mending and using recycled materials from what I read on her page. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's going to be good. So, and she'll be there. Liz Williamson will be part of the tour on tonight. So check us out, 8 o'clock on the YouTube channel, and tell your friends. And we always have a great time with April at the galleries and learning about these exhibitions and the artists. And to be able to talk to the artists is just such a treat. So join us tonight for that. And then we've been doing the meditative stitching now. We've done four. But
I don't know.
Yeah, but we're not going to do one Sunday. And then we're going to finish off the last two after that. Because Sunday's podcast guest, the audio podcast, is Andrea Cabral of Black Cat Creative Studio. And she's in Maia, Portugal. And so I did a podcast with her. So I'm going to post that Saturday night so you have a chance to listen to it. And then Sunday, instead of meditative stitching at 2 o'clock Eastern time Sunday, she's going to be with us live. And we're going to do like we've done on Wednesday nights, where we'll have photos of her embroidery. And she's going to talk about what it means and why she put it together. And she does a lot of stump work. And just about all of her embroidery is presented. She sells the finished artwork. It's presented in hoops. And you think, oh, you know, that's rather mundane. No, she decorates and alters the hoops so that they become part of the artwork. And all of it has meaning. And if you go to her Etsy shop, she writes out paragraphs of description of what's behind the piece of art she's created. And so it's hoops, and then also doing some jewelry, some brooches. And
I saw that.
Yeah,
that was bad. Now, why did you have me go look at that? I looked up on her Instagram, and then had to stop because I was like, "Oh, this looks really cool." I was like, "Okay, no." So I'm looking forward to Sunday, but I just wrote down Etsy shop on my little notes here. Mm-hmm. So I have to go check that out.
You too can own them.
I think they look very, very cool.
Yep. It's unique. You know, she has a unique color palette. It's much on the darker side. And it's really, it was so much fun talking to her and learning what is behind all that she does. And so she's kind enough the Sunday that we post the podcast, which will now be Friday, Saturday night, then to do the live show with us. Because the only way we can do live shows with European people is to do them in the afternoon, because that's evening for them. Our evening shows are middle of the night for them, so that doesn't work. So she was kind enough to do it on a Sunday, and I'm looking forward to it. And you can go to her Etsy shop, and all of that stuff is for sale, and it's pretty cool stuff. Yep.
It looks neat.
Yep. So we have that, and then also coming up in November, Nicoletta Carbone from Giuliana Ricama magazine. So we're going to have, I don't know when I'll post that, because I may have to do some editing on that one, extensive. But anyway, so we're going to get to learn about the magazine, which is the Italian, I think it's fair enough to say it's the Italian equivalent of Inspirations magazine. Is that fair?
I think so. I think it's, I mean, just the way it's presented. They're different, but it has that same quality. It's not like a thin counted cross stitch magazine, which are fine. I like them too.
Right.
But this is like it's like you're getting a book.
Yeah.
A little book in the mail is what I think of it.
So yeah, it's on heavy stock. It's beautiful photography. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole bit. Yeah, they're beautiful magazines.
And nice instructions.
Yes. And they just have started, just recently, not too many months ago, started having an English version. And so that makes it approachable. I mean, you could buy the Italian version and figure it all out, I'm sure. But it's in English, so all the articles will make sense if you're not an Italian reader. And so we're going to talk to them, talk to Nicoletta about the magazine and the new English version, but then also what needlework is like in Italy, what the needlework world is like in Italy, because they're located in Verona. And so that's coming up. And then also, I've already recorded this too, back with Stephanie Bonneau of Atelier St. Clair. And we spent, it was a good 45, 50 minutes talking about the world of haute couture and what it's like to work in that world and what role she's played and how that all works out. And that was fascinating to learn that. So we did that was in October. We had Stephanie, and then now back for the second part, where we just all we talk about is the world of high fashion, because her activities now are just to the Paris Fashion Week and London Fashion Week, because those fashion weeks take up too much of her time. She can't do her other things. So she only does two now. But she talks about all the different jobs and facets of work that go into putting these dresses together, and then showing them on the runway. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be interesting to listen to. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. So that's all coming up. It's all coming up in our ongoing attempt to bring you new and different and unusual. Oh, and then, I've got, Patricia Sone. I think that's right. S-O-N-E, Needlepoint, painted canvas designer and teacher. She's coming up too.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got a bunch of them. Getting them lined up. Okay, and then if you want to be a Wednesday guest, if you want to be a guest on the Wednesday show, let me know, Gary@WeTalkFiber.com. Need some Wednesday guests. Real easy to do. Just got to send me some pictures of your work. We put them up on the screen. We talk about them. People in the audience ask questions. It's a chance to show off your work. It's pretty cool. So
it's kind of like show and tell. And it's a fun way, you know. I'm still not able to go meet, and our guild is not meeting, and it looks like we won't be meeting. I like to see what people are working on. Even if I'm not going to stitch it myself, I like seeing what other people have done. And so just look at it as like show and tell for grownups.
There we go. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's what it is. So yeah, let me know if you're interested in doing it. It's really quite painless. And you're only on screen for a little bit. People freak out. Oh, no, they'll be on screen. Well, most of you are doing floss tubes anyway, so it's no different than that. And we guide you through it. It's pretty simple. Beth or Jennifer is there to deal with questions from the audience. And we just talk about it. It's fun. So
yeah,
let me know. Okay, you found this thing. This is, you sent me an email several days ago with this link. And I just set it aside. Okay, we'll talk about it when we do this show. I just set it aside and it looked interesting. But then this morning when I was getting things together to do the show, I actually read it. And this is just bang on excellent. Julie Fafan Balzer.
Yep.
Balzer Designs.
Right.
And it's tips for learning new things. So, and you followed her for some time now?
Oh, I followed her. I think my daughter found her actually years ago. So I'm thinking at least 10 years.
Oh, my.
And I've taken a class from her, a couple of classes, online classes from her. She's a very good teacher. I like her style. What I always like about her, she just posted something the other day and she asked my favorite question. What if? So that's what I like about her. She is always saying, well, what if I do this? I don't like something. So how can I change it and make it so I do like it? Or maybe I'm just going to leave it and use it later as a learning experience. She is a person who is curious about life and mm-hmm. curious about art. And that's why I follow her.
Yeah. So, well, this one, tips for learning new things, is so perfect because, yeah, tips for learning new things. But in this environment today, where so many more people are taking online classes and so many people who maybe have never taken a class now have access to learning, this is just spot on. So let's just go through it. So her first one, let go of self-consciousness, tips for learning new things. First one, let go of self-consciousness and competing with those around you.
Right. So I think of this one, especially, and you're thinking, oh, you know, when you're doing online, you're kind of more anonymous. No one really, unless you post your photo of your work, no one's going to see it. But there is always this, like, you're kind of a perfectionist, Gary. so you're kind of intimidating to follow behind because you try to get your every stitch perfect and I'm more like, yeah, whatever. And I think, you know what, Gary's piece is not going to hang next to mine in my house. You know, it's just not. The Needlepoint Police don't live in my house. I just need to let that go because I tend to do that. I tend to, if I start comparing my piece or my work with someone else and I'm like, you know what, no one else is going to see it. Why am I being so hard on myself? I just need to do the best I can and move on. I don't know. But
yeah. Well, it's just that comparing to others and yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be intimidating and I shouldn't be, but see, I've been, I've been working on that, Avliya basket weave pattern for the meditative stitching. And number one, I would have gone, it's like 30 or 32 count linen and I would have gone to 40 count. So I only had to do one strand of thread. And so this is 30 and I was going to replace it. And I thought, no, all right, this time, I'm going to stitch it, but I'm going to give myself permission to just stitch and not railroad the threads, because normally that's what I would do, get them to lay straight. I'm just going to give myself permission on this piece to sit there and just stitch. And if the strands roll over each other, I don't care. I'm just stitching it. And it's been a nice release. But then I have caught myself more than once going, oh, that stitch isn't quite right. I should pull that out and redo. remember, you're just stitching this. We're just letting it go however it goes. And because we're not going to study it with a magnifier. And but that's the whole thing here is the self-consciousness. And it's not a competition. You're just doing it for you. It's your piece. You're doing it for you.
Right.
Yeah. Because right. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, when she said, you know, you're in a room with other people, even if it's a virtual room, there's other people that are, you know, maybe you're taking one of the sampler classes that Sassy Jacks had offered, and you know, other people are doing it, and you're like, oh, my stitches aren't as good as theirs or whatever. It's like, you know, it's okay. You know, you can't compare yourself to others. You just got to kind of let it go and say, okay, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm learning, and that's why I'm here. I'm here to learn.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm here to learn. Yeah. Yeah. Because what does she say? If you're feeling self-conscious, here's some tips. Stop looking at what other people are doing. Okay, that would be tip one.
Right.
Don't compare yourselves to others, including the teacher. Yeah, definitely don't compare yourself to the teacher. And this kind of gets to that when we talked about Amina Kay out of Russia, her thing right. about it being intimidated by talent. This gets to that. Be kind to yourself. No one on earth is as mean to us as we are to ourselves. So much truth there. No one. This is the one. And remember, no one really pays attention to you as much as you think they are.
Right.
Yeah.
They're more worried about themselves and their own work than they are about you and your stuff. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah.
To be honest, we're harsher with ourselves than when we are with somebody else. And we tend to be our worst self-critics.
Yep. So that was tip number one. Yep. Let go of self-consciousness. All right. Just relax and just learn.
Right.
Yes. Learning is next one. Learning is hard. Take notes.
Now, I'm bad about this. Now, if I'm in a live class, I take notes.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to a workshop, because I do, our guild occasionally will have them, and I will take notes in on the pattern, or I'll have a separate notebook and I'll take notes. But if I'm in an online class, I find I am less likely to take notes. Now, I don't know what that is.
That doesn't make a lot of sense, but I understand how it happens. No, well, it doesn't, but I understand how it happens. Yeah. It's like right. There's a sense that if you don't write it down when you're in a live class, you'll never get it again.
Right.
I guess.
But maybe you feel like maybe if it's an online class that you can replay.
Yeah.
You feel like, "Oh, I'll just watch this again." And I've had that happen where I've taken a class and I've done the project and then I've gone back to maybe make another one or do another one or figure something out. I'm like, why didn't I just take notes? If I had notes on this, I wouldn't have to go back and watch 10 hours of videos to figure this out.
Yeah.
To find out where I need to do this one step that I cannot remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Take notes. Yep. Because what does she say? She takes notes about the things the teacher says, things I make her do in class, how that doing and making went, and what I would do differently next time, and then tips from fellow students.
Right.
Yeah. And those are the ones online or live that if you don't write them down, you won't remember them.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a good one. And it brought to mind, you know, we were talking before we started recording here, because this one brought to mind, I have an iPad Pro, and we were trying to come up with the name of the Microsoft. Ooh, it almost came to me. Anyway, that tablet. But anyway, you can write on it. There's, you know, Apple Pen or Logitech has a pen that you can write on it. And I use an app called GoodNotes. And there's GoodReader is the one that a lot of people use to, like, for reading PDFs, and you can put patterns in for cross stitching and mark them off and all that stuff. But GoodNotes is another device, another app for making notes, creating notebooks and making notes. And you can drop pictures in, you can do little drawings, you can annotate, you can point to and scribble over the top of it, all kinds of things. And I have, with this iPad Pro and this GoodNotes, I have really come to appreciate what a powerful tool that is, because you can take it with you as opposed to my laptop. You can take it with you, and then, of course, the bigger screen as opposed to your phone. But then everything in GoodNotes I can get on my phone. I just can't write on the phone screen because it's different technology. But those kinds of tools are available. So when you're at a in an online class to sit there and make notes and do drawings, and you can drag pictures in. And
all right, okay, I'm going to stop you here.
Yeah.
Let's say Gay Ann's, because I have Gay Ann's piece right here, her hearts, and you were taking this as a class. Could you take, let's say one of her charts? Could you drop it into there, and then put like notes on it, like what she said?
Oh yeah.
That would be an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Yep. Or a picture of the finished piece and point to.
Right.
You know, she says, in this area, watch yourself and don't do this. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You bet. Mm-hmm. All of that. And it's all in one spot. Yeah.
Oh.
And no paper.
And it would be so helpful when you're going back and, because, you know, 10 years later, after you've taken the class,
mm-hmm.
and you're finally finishing the yep. piece, if you had those and you just pulled them up and you're like, oh, yeah, that's what the teacher said to do there.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's all electronic, and you can back it up to iCloud if you're Apple user, or OneDrive, which is the Microsoft online cloud thing. So you can store all that stuff there. So that means you can get it from anywhere,
right.
As long as you have a machine. I'm sure you can store it to the Google Drive too if you want. I'm not a user, but yeah, I'm sure you can. Oh yeah, all of that, and yeah, you could drag the pictures in, mark them up.
Gary, that one sampler class we're taking.
Yep. Oh, I'll be using it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That would be so wonderful, because I know it would be nice to be able, it's all in separate documents. I'm kind of wondering if you could take notes across the document. Does that make sense? You've got lesson one, and then it's got notes about buttonhole stitches or something. So if you could somehow link those, I don't know.
It'll search, it'll do all kinds of things. Yeah. Yeah. You can do all of that. Now, you can do an awful lot of it in the notes app that comes in Apple, you know, that comes with your phone or your laptop or whatever. They've made that now really powerful. It used to be just a place to store text, but now you can do all kinds of things with that you couldn't do before with iOS 14. It's pretty powerful. So you don't have to spend the money, but it's $7. I think it was $6 or $7 for this thing. And what it'll do, because I use it, I don't make notes on paper anymore. So I use it for the magazine. I use it for FiberTalk. I use it for my own stitching. Just other personal things, you know, I just make notebooks for all those things, but incredibly powerful, and it keeps it all there, and there's no paper, and it's backed up, so you're not going to lose it. Yeah.
All right. And can I get another question? So let's say you're a doodler. Can you doodle in it and then save that?
Yep.
And
in just about any color you want, any thickness of line you want. Yep. You can, it has pens for, it has a felt pen, a ballpoint pen, a fountain pen. It does not have a pencil, for that look, but, and then, you know, different thicknesses. Yeah. You can doodle, you can do anything you want. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Draw like okay. And it does. Now, most of them have this now where it say you freehand drawing a star, it'll make it into an actual star. Yeah.
Okay. But, all right.
Yep. And it has arrows. So you can just draw an arrow and it'll make it into an actual arrow to point to something. Yeah. All of that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm.
Powerful.
Yes. But,
and you know, I'm not doing that to get everybody to do good notes, because there's another version. I forget what it's called, that is, variations on the theme. But kids now in college are making heavy use of this technology in classes. And I think what they're doing is dumping their textbooks in, and then they're able to make notes in their text. And, of course, notes otherwise and like labs and all that kind of stuff if you're doing science. But it's incredible technology that is really easy. I mean, it's very intuitive. And these pens now anymore, the Apple Pen or the Logitech Crayon, I think it's called. I'm left-handed, so I couldn't use that because my left hand would drag over and it would pick that up and try to make letters out of it. Now none of that happens anymore. I can just write like normal. And it'll the technology will take like it'll take your cursive or printing and convert it to text if you want to.
Right.
You can do that now with Apple Notes, and I'm sure you know people are going to say, "Well, I can do that with Microsoft or with Android 10 years ago." Well, yeah, I don't doubt that, but it just works. So you can you can actually write something on the screen and have it turn into typed text, and my writing's pretty sloppy, and it gets about 80-85% right, which is impressive. So.
And I think this is really good because it's like right now we can't do seminars or anything like that. That's not happening. But you know, you pay a lot of money to go to a national seminar or even a regional seminar. They can be pricey. I know there's one coming up for EGA Heartland region's going to be at Lincoln, Nebraska this year, and a lot of good teachers are going to be there. It'd be nice to have something like that so that when you're physically in class, you know, because I can't tell you, even if you take it, like if they send you sheets of paper and you're taking notes, my handwriting is terrible anymore. So it'd be nice to be able to take notes on that class, have it legible so you can go back and read it, you know, maybe dump the class in there later when you get home, and then it's all together.
Yep. Yep. And if you think about it from a needlework perspective, there's different kinds of pages, ruled, grid, whatever. So you can put a grid page down, and if a stitch is you're being shown a stitch that you've never done, you can draw that right onto the grid. And, you know, up one, down two, go over here and make notes. And, yeah, you can do all that right in there. Yep.
Yep. Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. So it's, to me, it changes note-taking from you know, paper and scratching things out and all of that stuff. Because one of the features of GoodNotes, and we'll get off this in a minute, but one of the features of GoodNotes is you can hit the erase. So you want to erase something, you hit the eraser button up at the top, you erase whatever you're erasing, and the minute you lift that pen from the surface, it converts back to writing, so you don't have to go back and select the pen again, and you just start writing again. Yeah, it's you know, little things like that that to me are a big deal. So, yeah. Yep.
Nice.
So anyway, yeah, that's the technology is just powerful. Yeah. Okay. Next one she has, take some, leave some.
I think sometimes you get to a class. I don't know. Or I've been in classes, or I've had people say to me, I ran workshops for my guild, and they'd be like, "Well, I don't know if I really like that technique." I'm like, "But you're getting a national teacher coming in, so if you would just take the class, you're going to learn something here."
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe you won't learn. You might not like the technique, or you do it a slightly different way. Follow what the teacher says to do, and then you go home. You're like, do it the way you like or what works best for you. sometimes because, I don't know, it's like an Algerian eye. I think Terry Bay was teaching us the way she did it. And I followed her instructions. I had learned to do it the opposite direction. And she goes, you know, do it the way I show you and see if you don't like it better. And so I did, and I did like it better. And it was just the way that the direction you went. I can't remember if you went down through the hole or up through the hole. Her way was different. And the holes came out much cleaner and nicer. But if I just said, no, I'm going to do it my way, I would have learned, you got to learn, you know, you learn something.
Yep. Yep. And see, and that goes back to, have an open mind here. Yeah. You're there to learn. Yeah.
Right.
Take it in. And if it helps, fine. If it doesn't, you've at least seen that way doesn't work for you. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. No. And that's the, you know, that's that whole learning thing. You know, cause, and I think part of the draw, one of the things when it comes to learning is, you know, we all go through school and you do it the way the teacher says to do it.
Right.
And so that's our upbringing. You know, the teacher said do it this way. It's like today's math. You know, 7 times 5, it's 35. I don't need to draw 14 columns and 8 rows and, you know, justify this with this. It's 35. But
right.
So as we get, so we're not in school and not getting a grade for doing it the way we're taught. Yeah. You start to break out of that, you know, force yourself to break out of that and say, all right, this one works for me. This one doesn't. But then, you know, like the instance you have, yeah, I have my way, and then it turns out hers is better. Right.
And it was just the way most people actually, I think, do the Algerian eye. She does it the opposite way.
Uh-huh.
And it is cleaner.
Yeah.
Or I learned in another class to do, because you're trying not to get your threads to carry on those Algerian eyes. And so you're going, so you did half of it. And then you go back up the other way.
Oh, uh-huh.
Does that, and I was, I, you know, when I was doing it on my own, I would do every single Algerian eye, and then you have to go flip it over, weave it under.
Right.
And this lady said, no, just go do the top half and then go back and do the bottom half. It was like eye opening. I'm like, oh, and you know, and that's a silly little thing, but it improved my technique, and I wouldn't have known that had someone not taught it to me.
Yeah, because you're not gonna see that in a book. Yeah,
no, it wasn't in the instructions I had for a band sampler. It was just do the stitch, and I'm like, okay, I can do that stitch.
Yeah, yep.
So,
and that's take some, leave some. Yeah, there's something in every class, and it's. For me, it's, you know, yeah, you get to see how somebody does it, but sometimes maybe you'll see something that is, you know, lack of a better word, wrong. Well, that's learning too, because all right, I'm not doing it that way. Or you're in a class and you get things so messed up. I was in a class once where the advice on the doodle cloth was, If you goof it up on the doodle cloth, don't tear it out. Leave it there, because then that's an example of how not to do it, and that will help you remember. And you know, that's good advice. You know, leave the mess. And, oh yeah, don't go there, because it'll look like that, and you don't want that. And it's that give and take. And I really think the more I think about it, it comes from our school, our you know, K-12 and college school, where you must do it the way the instructor says to get the grade.
Right.
But we don't have to do that anymore.
Right. Yeah. And there's different when you're some of these things, especially for needlework or any sort of art. There's, as we're learning by watching the Wednesday shows, especially from Australia, there's different ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask that question, what if I do it this way? And your teacher might be, maybe she's doing something and you've always been taught, this is the way you do it. And she's saying, you know what? We're going to experiment today. Just kind of take a deep breath and do it her way. You know, you might not like it. You can go home and do it your own way, but you've learned something. And that's the point of taking a class.
Yep. Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's back and forth. It's a two-way street. Yep.
Right.
Take it, yeah. So that's a good one. That's a good one. Yep. This one. Okay, we'll get your feathers ruffled on this one.
Okay, good.
The other students are valuable assets.
Yes. I take a lot of online classes, and they're normally come in the form of digests or emails. And I wish people would comment more or ask questions more on those forums and not just let the teacher talk. And the reason is you will learn something from your fellow students. They have something to add to the conversation. And Julie said that. She says some of these things, she talks about what you'll learn from other people, will come to you in a conversation. Other tips and benefits come from eavesdropping. Well, the only way you can eavesdrop on an online class is if people are talking and having little conversations. And that's part of building a community. It's part of learning. And you know what? If you don't like the other student's comments, there is the big delete button. All you have to do is a lot of them come where you can just get the te if the teacher makes a comment, you can it'll just that's the only email you'll get. Or when you see that you're just getting a lot of chitter chatter, you just hit that delete button. You don't even have to read them. You just, oh yeah, delete. Or skim them and go on by. But you could learn things. I loved Gayanne's old Yahoo group, because if you asked a question, she would answer it, but also the other students would chime in, and we learned from each other. And I miss that. I miss that learning from the other students.
Yeah, there's yeah, that's it, it's that. There's a lot of resource in a classroom. A lot of resource.
And I miss, I do miss meeting in person. My guild meeting, like I said before, you know, it's like when we're doing show and tell on Wednesday nights. But you know, when you get together with other stitchers, you all have that in common, and you get to see how they're working their projects, what they're working, you know, what they're working on, what threads they're using, what fire, you know, what they're using for base fabric. And we're not doing that anymore. Our only option is online. And so I really miss that community of talking to other people and seeing their needlework and seeing what's happening. And that's, I miss live. I miss meeting with other people.
Well, and that whole learning from the class, I mean, look, how many times on a Wednesday show have we gone off on a tangent because of some comment or question from someone in the audience that has become a 10 or 15 minute segment? And that's that, somebody just makes a comment or asks a question. And it's fun watching the comments in those shows because a lot of times there's an exchange going on in parallel with the show, with people in the audience helping each other out. And I think that's cool too. When that happens, and been a couple of people who stop it, I want to pay attention to the show, but there's that exchange, and that's where that give and take back and forth. And people learn from each other. And because what was it? Oh, it was Sunday. Whoever brought up the
Sandy Higgins.
Sandy Higgins book. And it was a good 10 minutes of talking about that book and then the Eileen Bennett monogram book. That wasn't even on the list. It wasn't even part of the thing. I mean, the fact that I even ran upstairs and got them so we could talk about them. But that's, that was something that people got to learn a little bit more about those two resources that wasn't on the agenda at all.
And most teachers, if as long as you're not interrupting, people like having questions, you know, and it's I people should be shy about asking questions. If you have a question, generally there's three or four other people who have the same question but are just too shy to ask. It's generally what we found. And it's just nice to have those conversations go on and to learn from fellow needleworkers.
Well, and
and
as a former teacher, I can tell you that the best classes are the classes where the kids have lots of questions. Number one, sometimes if they have lots of questions, because I did a terrible job of presenting the material. But no, when they have a lot of questions, then they're engaged, and then that generates an explanation from a different angle, or another student says, "Well, this is the way I see it." Oh, okay, that makes sense to me now. You get that, because if you have a question, and that old saying, "No question, there's no question, there's a dumb question." Is so true. I mean, when I was teaching science, you could tell if a kid had a question, and early on in the year, and then they get used to it. I said, "All right, what's your question?" "Oh no, it's just stupid." "No, ask the question.
Ask the question. Please ask the
I
question.
don't care how stupid it is. Ask the question, and then that gives me a chance to explain it and help that student. And then you can see as a teacher." Four other sets of eyes where the lights go on. Oh yeah. Okay. Thank you. Glad you asked that question because they caught on. But yeah, it's that interaction in a classroom. And yeah, maybe it holds up how much of the material gets covered and the teacher goes, okay, look, we got to move on to the next thing. But you get your questions answered. You come out of there a richer person for it. Yeah.
Right. And generally, like when I've taken live classes with people, generally there's you have to get so much stitching done. You're working on a project or you're working on your doodle cloth. And there's generally a quiet time there where you're working. That's a great time to ask your question. You know, why do you do the stitch this way? What, you know, even asking, you know, how did you, why did you start designing? You know, all those questions we want to ask of our teachers when we have them live in a workshop sort of area, or even online. You know, we're doing the Gay Ann Rogers Hearts is one, but she has there is a group through Shining Needle Society that you can sign up for, or she has a Facebook group too that, you know, you could ask her questions.
Yep.
If she's not too busy doing mail jail. but it's fun. It's fun to hear other people's questions and get that discussion going and going back and forth yep. with the designer, the teacher. There's nothing like it. And the other students.
Yeah. You know, and how many times in during that quiet stitching time has someone asked the question of the teacher, and pretty soon five people around that person have stopped and turned around because they have the same question or they're having the same right. problem. And so it becomes a group, and then the teacher, you know, oh, all right, never mind. All right, I'm going back to the front of the classroom because obviously we need to go over this part again, all because right. somebody asked a question. You know, put their self-confidence or their self, what is that at the, your self-consciousness, just let yeah. go of it, ask the question and the teacher helps. And then the whole class ends up benefiting. Yeah.
Right. So, right.
Yeah.
Right. And there's, yeah. And the other thing is when you ask questions, my son said he was doing this in one of his classes. He really wanted to learn some information. And no one was asking any questions, like, and he's in graduate school. So, you know, he's like, I'm going to start asking my questions because I need to know this stuff. Right. I'm paying for this.
Well, yeah, exactly. That was the point I was going to make. You're paying for it. Get out of it what you need. Yes.
Right. Right. And he was like, I'm just going to start asking my questions because this guy is just covering the material and I could read that in the book myself, but I have questions. And I want to know. And I think that's true too when you're doing needlework. It's, you know, if you have questions, ask them. You are paying the teacher.
Right.
You don't want to be annoying, but you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Don't be that person.
Right. But especially on an online experience, you know, make a list of questions, send them off in the group. If you can't, if there is a group, other people probably have the same ones. And it's just nice. Or they haven't thought of them and wish they had. That's right. The other thing. Mm-hmm. I always am glad when people ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be that person whose hands in the air constantly. It's like, enough, enough. Because at some point, the person whose hands in the air all the time, if they would just stop and pay attention, most of their questions would get answered. But, ask, you're paying for it. You know, right. Find out. Stay mm-hmm. after, you know, you feel like, this is too trivial for the class. Stay after and get your question answered.
Right.
You know, there isn't a teacher on the planet worth her salt, his or her salt, who won't stay after and answer student questions.
Right.
You know, they all will. Most of them will stay till everyone's out of the room. You know, and good teachers too, who during that quiet stitching time, they aren't sitting up in the front. They're roaming the room.
Right.
You know, they're looking to see what people are doing, help you out, a little tip here. Oh, look, somebody's struggling here, just do this and this. Oh, got it. Go, you know, and go on.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Good teachers work the room the entire time. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Got Absolutely. To.
Yep. All right. The last one. Failure is not a problem. The key is to keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's it when you're doing needlework, the white work sampler class. I was like, oh, why did I sign up for that? I already have Can Rogers white work sampler sitting. And I just looked at it. I pulled it out and looked at it today, I think. Anyway, and I'm thinking, no, I think that's the reason I took the class is I'm stuck on that piece. I'm afraid it's not as good as other people's, you know, I'm doing it wrong. And I'm thinking, no, I'm going to learn more by taking the Trish class. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when you're working on your needlework, you make a mistake and you think, but I shouldn't ever do this technique again. It's like, no, if this is your first time, you're only going to get better if you try it again.
Right.
And you just need to keep going.
Yep. Yeah, you know fairly shortly into the deal whether you actually are interested in the technique. And right. But if you're interested and having trouble, then yeah, then just hang in there. It'll come. You'll get right. it. Yeah.
Right. And I know, like with my needle point, I've gotten better at it over time. And taking more classes, learning a few tricks, it has improved. I can pull pieces off my wall that I did at the beginning and then things that I've done more recently. And I can see that I've gotten better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've greatly improved at it. Or even that's the other thing, people choosing color. That's the thing that frightens a lot of people is pulling your own threads or pulling your own colors. So, and I was looking at a piece and I'm like, that is really hideous. The color choices were very bad, but you know what? That's okay. I learned something,
yep.
And I keep playing with it. And the more you play with it, the more you learn.
Yep. Yeah. Don't ever do that combination again.
Oh, a little too bright.
Yep. Write that combination down. Put a big X over it. Yeah.
Well, actually, it was Natalie Dupuy put something up on Instagram. She has you have a color wheel, and then there's also the grayscale. Do you know what that is?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So my problem was they were all the same value.
Oh. So
all the colors.
And without the grayscale thing, you wouldn't have seen that.
No. I hadn't done it, and I hadn't done what I should have done, which is you take your colors. And I learned this trick after I did this. You take your colors and you throw it on your photocopier and you make a photocopy of your threads. And if they're all the same color of gray, you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or if they're too close, if you can't see any difference, then you need to go and start changing things around.
Yep. Yep. Well, and I've said this before, that's the way I was taught photography is shoot black and white. Do everything when you're learning, do it in black and white because color hides problems. Because your mind is able to take color and adapt. Where if it's black and white, it can't. It's either there or it isn't, and it's this dense or it's this dense, and you can't hide it. And so that's the way I was taught photography because that then teaches you light, contrast and gradation and all those things because you can't hide it with black and white. And it's by making a Xerox copy, that's exactly what you're doing is you're making a black and white version of it. And then, yeah, immediately, oh, these are all the same. Oh, no wonder it looks like.
This is not going to work. I need to do a little bit different color combination. Yep.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Yeah, an old master photographer. He was pretty insistent with me. And right. So that when I learned photography, he told me, go buy bulk rolls. This was in the film days, bulk rolls of black and white film and learn to develop it, which I did. And then he taught me how to read negatives.
Oh.
So I printed very little. I had notebooks and notebooks of sleeves of negatives, but very little of it ever got printed because I learned how to read negatives and tell if the photo was going to be any good and pick out the one that was actually had potential and make a print of it. But I didn't need to see the rest of them because I could tell from the negative, it just wasn't cutting it. And so same thing, you know, take a color combination, make a Xerox copy, and there it is. Yep. Now, all right, right. Now change a couple of things and make another copy, and oh yeah, there it is. Now I see it.
There, that's better. That's better. Yeah. Right. And but how do you know unless you try?
Right.
And then this she says failure is not a problem, and the key is to keep going. And I think sometimes maybe you tried something once and you're like, well, I didn't really like that. You know, sometimes it's better to try things a second time or try again in a different setting, a different class, a different teacher. You might find you like it.
Right. Oh. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Don't give up on the stuff, you know, because you get a lot of people, you see it. Oh, I could never do that. Or that's too hard. Well, no, it really isn't. You just got to dig in a little bit and, you know, and do a little bit today and come back in 2 or 3 days and do a little bit more. And you start to get your legs under you, and then you gain some momentum and discover you like it. You never know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, yep. Yeah, and then she says here, I think a lot of people stop after failure. Encourage you to remember that failure is a bump on the road, a detour, not the end of the road. The key is to keep going.
Right. And,
yeah. Yeah. Because, yeah, that's just it. Oh, my, this looks terrible. I'm never doing this again. No, that was step one. Try step right. two.
Right. Well, and you know, you're working on your Avlia piece, the meditative stitching. And I'm using her cloth. And,
yes.
And it's very rough. And I actually like how it feels in my hand. I'm a tactile person. But my stitching is, I'm again, it's not, they're not laying right. So I went ahead and purchased some sulky threads because I thought, okay, I have another one of these of hers, and I'm just going to pull sulkies for it, and then I'm not going to have to lay the threads.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'll like how it comes out better. Mm-hmm. But it'll be perfect for having as a decoration in my house, and it'll work, and it'll be fine. And I learned something.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, that cloth she uses, I mean, it's comes from Greece, and there's a purpose to it, and it does give a look. It gives a look that's different, mm-hmm. and there's some real benefit to that, but, you know, not everybody likes that. And,
right.
Or, right. like in your case, let me just try a different thread. And
right, right. And but how would I have known if I hadn't tried it?
Right.
That's the deal. If you don't try something, how are you going to know?
That's your what if question. Yeah.
Yes.
What if I try this? Yeah.
What if I try this?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to have that stamped on our scroll frames or something. What if?
What if?
Yep.
What if I try this?
Because, yeah, just remember, yeah, you know, this isn't going well. Well, it's not like there aren't 5,000 different threads out there for us to try. I mean, come on.
Right.
They're right. everywhere.
Or different linens. And different linens. I think that's the other thing. I heard someone talking the other day that they didn't like something. They had tried a certain brand of linen and they didn't like the weave of it.
Uh-huh.
And then they gave up. They were like, okay, not doing linen ever again. And I'm like, wait. Try a different linen. Try a different weave. You know, the dyers, they do, it comes out in a different, try different counts.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Just try something new. Try something different.
Yeah. And don't be afraid of higher counts.
Right.
I don't be afraid. That's just a magnifier.
Yes. You know,
just don't be afraid, because higher counts, there's a different feel and look to those, and there's some real pluses to it, and it's just a magnifier so you can see it. And
right stronger pair of reading glasses,
right.
hooked on the end of your nose.
Yep.
So you can see it. It's perfect. And actually I like some of the higher counts, because then you're using just that single thread, and
yep,
no laying of double strand.
Yep.
Advantages, all sorts of advantages.
Yeah. No, that's what drives me to the higher counts. It's just that one bit of really laziness. I just don't want to deal with multiple strands. So give me a higher count. But yeah, like this Avlia one that I'm working on right now, if I wouldn't be doing it if I hadn't just said, look, this is for meditative stitching. Just put all your little mental quirks away and just stitch this thing and just enjoy it for that fact. Enjoy the fact that you can just sit there and just move the needle and thread, and you're not looking at charts, nothing. You just go. And at an arm's length or further away, it's going to look just fine.
No one's going to see.
Yep.
Right. And I took mine I was just traveling with my husband in a little camper. And that was the piece I took with. And if I'd been home, I might've said, okay, this is just, I've got to put this on scroll bars. I've got to be able to lay this, but I didn't have that option. And it was the only thing I brought to stitch. Cause I just wanted to work on it. I needed something small that I could take with. And I thought, you know what? And I did. I held it at my arm's length away, and I'm like, it looks fine. Just keep stitching. And I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. But now I got to interrupt you. Cosmos thread. So you're still liking it.
I'm liking it a lot. And I have to say that we're talking about a stitch along, starting a stitch along at the first of the year. More to come on that. But yeah. I think I'm going to convert all the colors to Cosmo thread. Oh. Yeah, I think I am, just because I like it. I really do like it. And we talked about it with Jan Hicks this past Sunday, and she found that it doesn't get fuzzy. It doesn't wear as fast as the others. It's tighter spun tighter, and it, but it just, yeah, I really like it. It holds up throughout the whole strand of thread. It holds up extremely well. The colors are beautiful. I think she said there were some 400 colors, so it's not like you're lacking, but yeah, when we do that stitch along, I think I'm going to convert everything to Cosmo thread, because it's more expensive than DMC. I mean, all of them are, but I really like it, really do. Yeah,
and that's because I've had issues with the DMC. Just it's like it's fuzzy or something, and I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna have to look into Cosmo. I've got to finish a project though first.
I know.
Let's get something done. Yeah. I'm sure Marg is saying the same thing.
Yeah, it's been mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's been mentioned.
My husband just rolls his eyes. So
yeah. No, it's, when am I going to have something to hang on a wall? Oh, we'll get there. Trust me, we'll get there. Yeah. I rest assured. Sooner or later, one of these has to get done if I keep stitching on it. Yeah.
All right. All right.
It'll happen, but just don't get in a hurry, because
No, it's supposed to be relaxing. It's not
right.
It's about the process, not the end product.
Yep, it is for me. Yeah, exactly. Yep, just enjoying doing it, and when we get done with something, well, all right, we'll move on to the next thing. Yep.
Yes.
All right, that's going to be it. So tonight, join us for the a tour from Gallery 76 with April, and Sunday will be Andrea and her needlework podcast and live show, all one big package. That'll be fun.
All right. Look forward to it.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
Bye.